Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Steve Frampton, Sharon Bradley, and Patty Zakas. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Steve Frampton, and you're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, our guest, Jeffrey Seelman, will be joining us to discuss the subject of exorcism and sharing with us techniques for keeping ourselves in the love and light of God. Now, before we get started, I'd like to welcome my co-host, Maureen. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay, Steve. Thank you so very kindly much.
Good. Yeah. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you. It's always nice to be here, as you know. And yes, I will share with you what you want. What do you want to know about my life?
Well, whatever you would like to share, but particularly your work as a wonderful psychic.
Oh, yes. Oh, it started in 1945, I was in. Not yet born. Well, okay. I'm the Claire stuff going on, and I'm an intuitive, now I guess it's nice to say I'm a spiritual counselor, I'm a coach, but I work on PsychicAccess.com. I also have a Saturday night internet web TV show, which I've been doing for 2 years now. I love it. And, you know, I love my work, and it's not always easy, but I'm real connected to, this is my work, and helping people in directions, and every positive, every negative can be a positive. There you have it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Maureen.
You're welcome.
I know your work is fantastic, so it's always great to share the show with you. We're going to have a very interesting conversation with Jeffrey. I spoke with him last weekend in detail and was absolutely fascinated by his work and admirative of him. He's such an incredible and courageous man. So we'll get started in a moment. I'll introduce myself as usual, Maureen. Just
would you introduce yourself, please?
I will. Thank you. Thank you, Maureen. My name is Steve Frampton, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show. I'm a psychic medium, and I give readings at psychicaccess.com. I am fascinated in all areas of spirituality and metaphysics, and enjoy my work helping people to make the best of themselves and the most of their lives, and helping people also to stay with the spirit of God and of our archangels and guides. Now, in a moment, I'll be introducing our guest, Jeffrey Seelman. Before I do, I want to just tell you a little bit about his work. Jeffrey's a teacher, a psychic, and an exorcist, specializing in clearing and psychic protection. A clearing refers to the removal of negative emotional energies and negative spirits from a person or from a location. Jeffrey is also an expert on hauntings in homes and businesses. He uses his psychic ability in order to work with spirit guides and the light to remove any evil spirits, to provide protection, also to remove any curses, any demonic possession. And he just does wonderful, wonderful work providing love, light, and protection to people. I want to mention at this stage Jeffrey's website, which is www.starclear.com. And StarClear was created to help the public understand the nature of negative emotional energies and negative spirits. And I know that StarClear assists thousands of people each year, helping them to feel happier and healthier and to live life to the fullest. Jeffrey's also the host of StarClear Radio on the Para X Radio Network and host of International Metaphysical University Radio. Now, as it's an unusual topic for us, before I introduce Jeffrey and welcome him to the show, I wanted to say a beautiful prayer that I found in the Spiritualist's hymn book. So I'm going to say that before we get started. Lord of all being, throned afar, thy glory flames from sun and star, center and soul of every sphere, yet to each loving heart how near. Sun of our life, thy quickening ray, sheds on our path the glow of day. Star of our hope, thy softened light, cheers the long watches of the night. Our midnight is thy smile withdrawn, our noontide is thy gracious dawn, our rainbow arch, thy mercy's sign, all save the clouds of sin are thine. It's a beautiful, beautiful prayer written by O.W. Holmes. And I'll continue with a little more of it. Lord of all life, below, above, whose light is truth, whose warmth is love, before thy ever-blazing throne, we ask no luster of our own. Grant us thy truth to make us free, and kindling hearts that burn for thee, till all thy living altars claim one holy light, one heavenly flame. And that was written by O.W. Holmes, as I mentioned a moment ago. I'd like to go ahead and welcome Jeffrey to the show. How are you doing, Jeffrey?
Wonderful, Steve. Thank you very much, and a very beautiful poem for an introduction. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
You're welcome, Jeffrey. It's our pleasure. I really enjoyed our conversation in preparation for the show last weekend and admire your work. So we're really very excited to have you with us, Jeffrey, and to learn about your work and to learn how we can stay protected and of the light. Now, Jeffrey, my first question for you is how you became an exorcist and what your path was bringing you to this exceptional work.
It certainly was a strange one. I was born with psychic abilities and had lots of strange experiences happen to me throughout my childhood. I was very, very aware of spirits around me. I wasn't quite sure what they were. I was also very conscious of emotional energy and the feelings that I encountered when I was in school and also around my friends and teachers and other people. And so I kind of went along like that. I thought everybody had those kinds of abilities, and many people do. I started practicing meditation for relaxation reasons when I was 16 years of age. That was 1976, for those of you who remember those days. And went into the United States Air Force right after high school, after I got out on my own. I started studying spiritual concepts, exorcism, spiritual communication, and the like, and kind of went on like that through the 1980s. About 1990 or so, some friends of mine who were sort of metaphysical people asked me to take a look at one of their friends' homes. He was actually a very metaphysical person, and also was a member of a metaphysical group, but they, for some reason, they could not get rid of something that was in their, in this guy's home. And so they asked me to take a look at it, and I did. I did a clearing on it, just kind of spontaneously, and I was able to get rid of what was bothering him, which was essentially a spirit. Now, I banished the spirit. You can't kill something that is already dead, but things can be kicked out, things can be banished. I then went on to my next project, which was clearing somebody else's house who had a problem. I was also successful with that. That's when it was suggested to me that I take it to the public. That was 1992. So I started with a few small advertisements in some local newspapers in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in the United States. And so kind of started out like that real slow. Then I ended up doing sightings. At that time, that was with the Paramount Television Network. Now it is with the Sci-Fi Channel. And then Strange Universe, which was also a daily metaphysical show that was on every afternoon for half an hour. Some of you might remember that. And went along that way for a while, doing some media work, radio shows, went into broadcast radio stations and had to explain what I believed in and how I worked, and actually did clearings in some of these broadcast stations, which you can still hear on my website. You know, it's kind of a nostalgic type of thing. How I became an exorcist was essentially I was asked to become an exorcist, not by anything that is alive in our physical world. Essentially, I was approached by a group of spirits that were clearly very powerful, sort of like a group of exorcists. They believe in the freedom of the individual and also of the group, families, and that kind of you know, group situation, and you know, informed me that, you know, hey, Jeffrey, if you want to join this organization, you can, but I just want you to know that it is for the rest of your life. You're not going to be able to get out of it. And if you make a decision to join our group, then you're going to have to, you know, stick with it and be a part of this thing for the rest of your life. I thought about it for several days, and I decided that it was the right thing to do. I really wanted to help people. So many strange things had happened to me in my life. I realized that, you know, why would I be studying all of these subjects for reasons I wasn't even sure of? You know, clearly I was being led into something. So I decided to do that, and there was a bit of a ritual involved that was initiated by spirits, because in my work, I do work with spirits and work on the non-physical side of reality anyway. So I was quite aware of the ritual itself, and there was even an oath and all of that. It was a very benevolent and positive thing. Now is my life's work, and that was in about 1996, and so the story goes on. I continue to help individuals and families and businesses. Businesses also get attacked by negative spirits, and so part of my work is with businesses as well, and not just with individuals and homes. Usually the attacks are on people, so that's kind of how I got to start being an exorcist. And once I kind of got involved with this particular spiritual group that, as I said, was not physical, there are no physical people involved but me that I know of, although there may be around our planet, but I'm not aware of them. It's very possible they're working with other people, and very likely, but that actually a lot of strange things happened to me metaphysically, and my ability to help others increased as the years have gone by greatly. I'm now 52 years old in 2011, and really better able to do my work than ever before.
Well, you're amazing, Jeffrey. I know you do exceptional work. I want to ask you, Jeffrey, how common is it for a person to experience poltergeist activity, for example, or a very negative, dark energy?
Well, I think the first thing to understand is that we have a dual nature to each one of us. We have the physical side of us, which we look into the mirror and we see our physical bodies. We also have our spirit. Some people call it the soul. Some people call it the spirit. Some people call it other things. But that part of us is eternal and is never going to die. And so essentially we are a spirit. Right now we are a spirit with a physical body. And at some point we're going to be a spirit without a physical body. And so an awful lot of people are born and an awful lot of people die. And there are a lot of spirits out there. And some of them are good and some of them are not. I like to say it this way, that most people are good, some are not, and most spirits are good, and some are not. I deal with the ones that are not. In my work, the kind of people who call me have problems. I can tell you that I believe that just about everybody has come into contact with both good and bad spirits at least one time in their life or more, whether they are aware of that or not. There are a lot of spirits around us. They don't all go flying off to what we call heaven. Some of them hang around the physical realm, whether it's on this planet or some other planet. They hang around the physical realm for different reasons, usually for negative reasons. It's not always to harm other people, but there's a lot of fear involved. Some people are afraid of moving on. Some people don't know they're dead. Some people are attracted to locations where they lived or people that they spent time with, and they're simply afraid of being judged. A lot of our major religions teach different concepts about judgment, and some of them are quite correct. So I'm certainly not cutting down any major religious beliefs, because you know the idea of right and wrong is quite clear throughout all religious and spiritual traditions. They're just maybe different concepts. So I think we all come into contact with spirits at different points of our life. Sometimes those contacts are good, and sometimes they are not. I think we all have spirit guides, whether we know it or not, and they are trying to warn us, maybe help protect us when they can, give us good intuition, good business ideas, an idea of maybe turning left instead of turning right. But also there are spirits that are unhealthy, mentally unhealthy. I personally believe that when people die, very little happens. I think that the physical body drops, essentially, and that is the end of it. That is the only change that happens. Other than that, our personalities remain the same, and so do our emotional systems. So it could be said that we take our emotional systems and personality with us when we die. And so that's good news for some people and really bad news for others. And there's a lot of misconceptions about what happens when people die. A lot of people feel they're going to be brought someplace or drawn someplace. That's not always the case. And very often people who are freshly deceased find themselves in the same place where they died, and they don't know what to do, and have no concept of where to go. So spirits essentially operate under the power of their own mind. The thought process acts very differently on the non-physical level than it does on the physical level, and so our intuition and our visualizations and our belief systems act differently in the non-physical level than they do on the physical level. We can't wish ourselves from, say, Los Angeles to London. We have to make reservations on an airplane. But spirits don't do that. They actually can propel themselves by the power of their thought, visualization, and a good pinch of belief, which really helps them along the way. Problem is that because we're not taught that, they don't always know what to do. Some spirits still think they are dreaming. They don't know that they're dead or that they are, as I said, they have some psychological or emotional issues that keep them from moving on, and they gravitate towards places where they have lived or worked or people that they have known, and that can be problematic.
So what can we do, Jeffrey, to keep ourselves clear, to make sure that we're surrounded by good, uplifting energy of the light?
Our aura is our first line of defense. I think there's been a big misconception about the aura as well from very well-meaning people, because I work with a lot of different kinds of people, you know, just practitioners, and gotten to know a lot of people in the last 20 years of my business, that the aura is not just an impression of our spirit or an impression of our physical body on a non-physical level. It is actually a force field that is meant to protect us from the effects of negative emotional energy, that accumulates in environments that we live and work in from people and some spirits. So just like every part of our physical body has a purpose, so does our spirit. Our spirit is a functioning system. It's not just there for looks. It's not just a big ball of light or some kind of energy. Everything has a function to it, including our aura. Our aura, essentially, as I said, is our first line of defense against negative emotional energies that accumulate. Everybody generates emotional energies. Emotional energies are not physical, and so they don't necessarily just go away. They can actually remain trapped in our body's energy fields. We can pick them up from places we live where other people have lived before us. We can pick them up at work. We can pick them up from relationships we have. And so our auras can really become quite clogged, and our body's energy fields can become quite clogged full of energies. And so the first step is to strengthen our aura. That's what I recommend, and that's one of the first things I teach people, is how to strengthen our aura. Because when we have too much emotional energy of a negative nature, not positive stuff, we're talking negative stuff here, it actually inhibits our aura from functioning properly. I think most people's auras could be functioning better, and we can actually get weak spots in our aura, and some people who have damaged auras from different events and reasons actually have holes in their aura. Now, problem is that spirits can see these weak spots and auras. Not only can they see the spirit world, so to speak, the non-physical world is what I really call it, they can also see the physical universe as well. So they can see things we can't. That gives them a little bit of an edge over us. They can see where our auras are weak, and that is usually where they throw energy through in order to affect us. And it might be said best that most attacks by negative spirits, meaning spirits that have negative intentions, and there are many different kinds, by the way, are meant to be emotional in nature and amplify our emotional states of mind. So if we are feeling angry or depressed, or we're not liking ourselves at the moment, what a negative spirit would do is it would come close to us. We can't see it. We might feel it if we're sensitive. It would come close to us and generate a very large amount of rage and anger or depression or whatever emotion it wants to generate, and try to actually pinpoint and send that emotional energy through the weak spots of our aura, amplifying our negative energy. And maybe a really good analogy would be when we get road rage, you know, that small feelings and small angers can turn into huge ones very quickly. So the idea is that we all have these emotional energies that are sort of trapped in our bodies that really don't belong there. Again, I'm talking about negative ones, not love and kindness and all of that, but I deal with the negative stuff. That's just my job. And so it's already there. And when a negative spirit, or even ourselves, or one of our loved ones, or an enemy, or a coworker at work is generating a huge amount of energy towards us of a negative nature, it acts as a lightning rod to activate all of the rest of the negative feelings that we have. It amplifies it and can even send us out of control and get us to do things that we would not normally do.
Did we lose Steve or me? Well, I think we lost Steve for a minute, but I bet you. Hi, this is Maureen, the other co-host.
Hi, Maureen.
I'm sorry, but I'm stepping in. But I'm finding you very fan. I mean, overwhelmingly very interesting and very articulating very well. And because Steve, I think, went into a tech, maybe he went to another plane. I have no problem picking up to where he left off. So anyway, I'm sorry. This is Maureen, and and I was really getting involved with what you were saying, and so I'm looking for where Steve left off, unless you want to just keep going on with what, I'm sorry, Jeffrey, Steve will be back in a minute, I'm sure of it. So how about this? You were in the middle of something that was fascinating me. Do you want to carry on with that?
Sure.
Okay.
The idea is this, is that the majority of spirits that we find close to the physical realm on our planet, unfortunately, probably have mental and emotional issues. Now, that does not include spirit guides that come and give us intuitions and warnings and also can help us with increasing our psychic ability and changing us in many, many ways. That is not problematic. That is not a problem. That is a good thing. But those spirits do not live in our homes and do not live in our businesses and do not hang around us 24 hours a day. They come to us and they help us or guide us, give us some kind of intuition, and then they leave and give us our privacy. That is the way it works. And spirits that are here because they don't know what else to do or they're angry and they don't want to move on. Those are the ones we have to worry about, and those are the kinds of spirits that I deal with in my work, and there are plenty of them. Far more than people realize, and one way to look at it is like this. We know that there are an awful lot of negative people in this world. Most people are good, but some are not. That still leaves millions of people who are not good and who are not looking out for our best interest and might engage in criminal activity if they could, and some of them do. Now, given the freedom of no distractions of the physical world, essentially not having a physical body, a lot of spirits feel free to continue to not only think about doing negative things, but to act upon those negative desires. So there are actually a lot of spirits out there that are attacking people and attacking families and attacking businesses in order to destroy the fabric of the family, to ruin individuals' lives. And what better way to ruin an individual's life than to attack their business or place of work? If they can destroy the business, then they can knock out an awful lot of people's economic life, and that can also cause a lot of trouble. Their motivations are varied, unfortunately. Some of them do it for fun. Some spirits do it for revenge. Some spirits are angry because they didn't get what they want in life. Some spirits are unhappy because the other side, as we call it, is not the way they wanted it to be. And so there's a lot of anger out there with some spirits who are hanging around the physical realm and attack people. It happens a lot more frequently than we talk about. The media, of course, plays upon the idea of the demonic spirits, which do exist, a different kind of spirit. I can talk about that as well, but the idea that most negative, I would say that 90% of the spirits that I encounter in my work are just negative people who are dead and continue to do negative things while they are dead, and they need to be dealt with, and we need to protect ourselves from them.
So, Steve, are you back?
I am, yes.
Oh, thanks. I'm sorry. There you go. Thanks, Jeffrey. It was fun.
Well, stay with us, Maureen.
I'll be here. I'm listening really, but thanks. There you go.
Thank you. I had my usual problems with Skype.
Okay.
Jeffrey, you know, I know that there are all kinds of spirits, and there are different negative entities out there, and we have to stay of the light and stay positive in life to keep ourselves clear of negativity. But I know from our conversation at the weekend that you have handled some cases of demonic possession.
Oh, absolutely. Demonic spirits can be said to be the counterpart of angels, Steve. And angels essentially are spirits that are highly evolved. I don't think that they were created angels. Now, this is my opinion, and some people are going to disagree, but this is this exorcist opinion on the subject, that I believe that there's such a thing as spiritual evolution, and that what we call angels are simply spirits that have evolved by living many lifetimes, going through many trials, and have gotten rid of most of their character defects and are now out to help other people, and because they are evolved, are able to carry out a lot of different kinds of positive things for people, like helping to remove blockages and emotional energy, carrying out some protection, warnings, all sorts of things, and can even affect the physical world. The counterpart of that would be a demonic spirit. They also are very powerful. They are more powerful than your average negative spirit, who is just a negative person who's dead and doing negative things. They are also capable of affecting people very quickly on an emotional level. They are capable of inducing telekinetic activity, which means that they're able sometimes, when the wind is right, to move physical objects around. What I mean by when the wind is right is that because we all, as human beings and spirits, all generate emotional energy, which is a real energy, that energy's got to go somewhere. And what happens very often is that we all live in, or most of us live in, places that have been lived in before. And emotional energy can and does accumulate in our living and working environments and also in our body's energy fields. That makes it easier for negative spirits to transmit emotional energy from themselves into our body's energy fields by transmitting emotional energy. When it's sort of like a thickening of the atmosphere. Now, demonic spirits take great advantage of that and are able to transmit some very, very powerful energies and have been known to be able to move physical objects, although usually cars and trains and trucks aren't thrown around. Certainly, there's been lots of reports, and I have seen personally things moving around in people's rooms, and one of the common complaints I get, things falling off of walls, people being pushed, scratched, all sorts of things. Demonic spirits are quite capable, or extremely angry spirits are quite capable of doing these kinds of things. Demonic possession is real. It usually takes quite a while to build up a demonic possession. We're talking about two spirits essentially intertwined in our body's energy field, our own spirit and another spirit. It really does take a little while to put together by that spirit. Now, sometimes it happens rather quickly. Usually when we check out and something else checks in, the fastest way for that to happen is through substance abuse, or some kind of nervous or mental breakdown where we lose control over our psychological and emotional systems, and another spirit is able to gain temporary control over our emotional state of mind and our psychological systems and get us to do things that we would not normally do. I do think that this accounts for a percentage of violent crimes where the people simply flip out. It's not something that's always premeditated, but maybe a husband who is beating his wife or something and, you know, had no plan on doing that, or somebody who decides to go postal, grabs a gun and goes to his office because he got fired and shoots all the wrong people, of course. And, some of these things are aggravated by negative spirits, and this is definitely the playground of demonic spirits. They love to see people harm other people, and they're very good at getting people to do that. All that needs to be done is to take control of our emotional and psychological systems. It's really not that hard to do, because without the distraction of the physical body, without the distraction of the physical world, which we are all very, very distracted by, spirits are not distracted by these things. And so they can really use their full concentration and full focus in order to launch attacks against people and families and businesses. I find in my work that, contrary to popular belief, that the attacks are not usually on the home itself. Spirits have no use for homes. They don't live in homes. They don't have any use for shelter. They don't have bodies. They have no physical systems whatsoever, so it's good to understand the nature of spirits. But nobody usually sees naked spirits, right? So you don't get a lot of reports about that going on. Why is that? Spirits actually generate not only their image, they also generate clothing. Now, the clothing is not made of cloth. It is made of energy. But they generate this by the power of their thought process and visualization, which, as I said before, acts very differently and is much more powerful on the other side than it is on our side. We can't wish ourselves into a suit or a gown or something or a dress, but spirits can. But it is not cloth, it is energy. Now, one of the problems that any exorcist has, or any psychic, or anybody working in the metaphysical field has, and this also includes people who are not involved in these fields, has, is how do you identify a spirit? If a spirit can essentially generate an image of its choosing, and they can, maybe not immediately after death, but eventually they relearn how to generate an image. How do we know who's who? It might look like your mother. It might look like your grandfather. But how do we know that it really is? Well, the answer to that is this. We as physical people are essentially known by our DNA, individually speaking, you know, that we can tell each person individually that way. Spirits are known by their vibrational tone and content. That is how I determine who is who on a spiritual level, and also their intentions. So each spirit has a unique vibrational tone to it, and so demonic spirits don't always look ugly. Another misconception that we have is that a demonic spirit is going to appear, as they do in the movies, as some horrific monster, and they might do that. But that is only to scare individuals who are able to perceive them. Sometimes when there's a lot of emotional energy in the home, in the business, you're able to pick up the outline of a spirit, and you might see something quite monstrous, and it's going to be a negative spirit because positive spirits don't do that. So you are picking up on a negative spirit, but it's only to scare a person. And they know it frightens us, and so if a very terrible-looking, monstrous countenance scares a person, that's how they're going to appear. But when demonic spirits or very negative spirits attack me, when I'm clearing a home or helping a family, then they usually come at me on a very beautiful level. So demonic spirits are capable of being quite beautiful-looking. Now, the reason they do that is they want to give themselves a couple extra seconds of doubt for me to determine what they are. Because if they come at me looking like a gargoyle, I'm going to know right away they're a negative spirit, right? So I go into a home and I'm looking around, and there might be more than one spirit there. There might be a positive spirit or two that are trying to protect the family, and there also might be a negative spirit or a demonic spirit in the home. And so demonic spirits are extremely intelligent, and so are negative spirits, depending on how intelligent they were when they were alive and their capacity for intelligence after death. But make no mistake that demonic spirits are usually more intelligent than the average human being, and they know how to play all sorts of tricks and games. And so when they do attack an exorcist or a psychic or somebody who's trying to help other people, they will try to fool the exorcist even for a few seconds in order to launch an attack against myself or somebody else who's trying to help an individual or a family.
So, Jeffrey, how often are you afraid yourself?
I'm not permitted to be afraid, and I want to say, I'll clarify that. There's a lot of things I don't like to do. Maybe I'm not the greatest flyer in the world, even though I do fly around, and I've been to Europe many times and all of that. Maybe I'm not the most comfortable flyer in the world, and I don't like standing in line for concert tickets. But or crowded restaurants for that matter. So, but when it comes to spirits, I don't really have the choice to be frightened, because if I become frightened, then there's a chance that I will be attacked and the attack will be successful and I will not be able to help the family I'm working for or the individual or the business owner. So I really don't have that choice to be frightened. So the answer to that is never. It's not that I'm bragging, because I'm not. I'm just letting you know that that is a distraction that I cannot afford, and also that I'm very, very well trained in my work, not only through myself and remembrances of doing this kind of work in past lives, Steve, but also by spirits. Many things have happened to me to download, shall we say, information into me about how to deal with negative spirits. And so it's important to understand that ego is the killer of the exorcist. And so the fight is not really between me and a negative spirit or a demonic spirit. I'm there to protect and protect the family, protect the individual, clear the home. I keep my mind on my work, which is clearing the home of negative emotional energy or the business, because exorcism, really, modern exorcism is a little different than ancient exorcism. We can't chain people down into the basement of churches like maybe it was done several hundred years ago, and maybe not all those people were possessed if you study history, but the idea is that modern exorcism is actually a twofold process. Negative emotional energy, which is accumulated in the environment, needs to be cleared out, and that's one thing that I do. The second part is the banishment of the offending spirit from the home or the business. So both of those things have to be accomplished in order to carry out a successful exorcism. It all depends on the situation, which one I do first. Sometimes when I go into a home or a business that I get attacked right away and I have to deal with the spirit immediately. And there are times where I contain the spirit until I'm finished clearing out negative emotional energy. And sometimes I have a little bit of time on my hands where the spirit is not going anywhere, or it has gone somewhere and I'll have to track it down, and I do. It can't run away because it's left its imprint in the home. I can go track it down on the other side and deal with it on my own time, and I will do that during the exorcism. But sometimes I feel, you know, that the best way to start is to go through the home and find out exactly what's in there, and then maybe proceed with clearing out of negative emotional energies, which very often attract negative spirits and make it, as I said, that much easier for negative spirits and demonic spirits to carry out attacks. You take out the thickness of the atmosphere. You take out the negative emotional energy. It greatly weakens the spirit's ability to attack the people in the home as well as me. So I do run into demonic spirits quite often, and you know, the fear factor for me just can't be there. Now, I'm not saying that I'm stronger than all negative spirits, because I'm not, and that's something I keep in mind. There are negative spirits out there that have been around a lot longer than me, and they're very powerful, and I realize that, and so that's what I mean by, you know, the ego can't get in the way of this kind of thing, because the fight is not between me and the spirit. The fight really is about protecting the people who hire me. It's protecting the family. So I keep that in mind of exactly who I'm working for, and that really helps me out a lot, too, that, you know, there are people who have been suffering sometimes for years who call me. You know, very often families have been under attack for 2 years until they're able to get a hold of me. They might have called their local priest, who might have come into the home, threw some holy water around and ran. Unfortunately, that's happened many, many times, you know, in my work, where I hear stories of people who have called, you know, their local priest, and that's happened. They just haven't taken care of the problem, and finally they get a hold of me. But very often these attacks have gone on for weeks, months, and even years. So just think about that. You know, every night people get attacked in the home. Negative spirits, especially demonic spirits, show no mercy to living human beings, and they will attack children in their cribs. They don't care. If they could, they would kill them. And it's good to understand that, you know, that they're not going to play fair. Any exorcist worth their weight in salt is going to understand that negative spirits, and especially demonic spirits, do not play fair. They do not attack people of their own stature and strength. They're essentially cowards. And so they do go for the weakest person in the home, usually the person most susceptible to being affected, which is a sad and horrible thing, but it's true. So unfortunately, very often children get attacked, and even young children, as I mentioned, in cribs. It's a terrible thing, but a great motivation for me to help other people, because there's nothing I like better than to stop spirits from attacking children and people who are not able to defend themselves.
Well, I know you've done so much to protect people, Jeffrey, and your work is so important, so required. And I have a lot more questions for you. We're going to take a short commercial break, Jeffrey, and then we'll come back and we'll talk some more.
Good.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Well, welcome back, Jeffrey. I want to ask you, Jeffrey, about telekinesis. What's the most dramatic case of telekinesis you've seen in your work?
Well, I would have to say it's difficult for me to mention specific places because of client confidentiality, but I'll say this. Probably the most dramatic thing I've ever seen actually did not take place during an exorcism, but actually in a haunted mansion where I was giving a speech. And I was staying there overnight, and I actually went up to my bedroom to get a business card for someone, and the bedspread that was on the bed, and this was a bed and breakfast, was actually moving up and down. Now, I think what was probably most disturbing about this, and this would disturb anybody really, including myself, would be that normally if you'd look at something like that, you would think, okay, two things are going to happen. Someone's going to pick up the bedspread with one hand and pick up another piece of the bedspread, maybe 8 inches off the bed, with the other hand. Now, that's how we think as human beings. We even think about that spirit-wise, you know, one left hand picking up part of the bedspread and the right hand picking up part of the bedspread. But when I walked into the room, it was happening at 12 different places at once. And you know, it was a little startling to see because it was so dramatic and so obvious, and it was certainly something, you know, it was meant to let me know that an attack was about to occur on me, and that it was going to be a long night for me. It was kind of earlier in the evening. I actually sat down in the bed because in order to get my business card, I had to open up a drawer that was right next to the bed, and I actually sat down on the bed, although I did not sit down on the bedspread that was on the lower third part of the bed. But I just thought to myself, oh, this is going to be a long, bumpy night. And I think that was something that was very dramatic for me to see. I've seen people who I've worked on to do exorcisms on essentially being taken over by negative spirits and say some very ugly things and completely lose control of themselves. I have certainly seen things move around the walls and floors. Something kind of funny, I did a television shoot last year in a mansion, as a matter of fact, around Halloween time, and the television filming crew came in, and they had just come from one of these fake Halloween haunted places, which is fine, you know, it's those are probably the best places to go, but they had just come from that, and they were doing their second filming that was going to be shot and filmed in, or shown in a couple of days, and so they came in, and the mansion actually had decorations. It was a very nice place, and they had decorations. They had giant spiders up and cobwebs everywhere and all sorts of Halloween stuff. It was very beautiful. And they came in, you know, smirking and laughing. You know, they really came in like, you know, okay, so this is it. Well, we just came from something like this, except for it was really a good one. And so they really came in with a kind of a smart attitude, so to speak. Well, I took them on a tour through the mansion, and while we were in one of the rooms, and this mansion is known to be haunted, and while we were in one of the rooms, one of the heating grates literally blew off the wall. I mean, it really blew off the wall and landed several feet away from where it was. It made a huge, loud noise when it happened, and the noise that it made was not the heating grate coming off the wall. It was more of an explosion or a huge popping, kind of like a firecracker type sound. It startled everybody. I was closest to it. I saw it happening. The camera didn't pick it up, but everybody heard it and turned around. Everybody knew that nobody had touched it because even I wasn't that close to it, so nobody was you know, pulling some kind of trick on anybody. And this it was not this haunted mansion was not set up for any kind of trickery. It was just decorated. It's a known haunted mansion, haunted by spirits. And so it just scared the, you know what, out of the television crew. It wiped the smile right off their faces. We investigated a little bit. They pronounced the mansion completely haunted and pretty much made a beeline for the door. Now, fortunately, you can watch this on my website. Now, if you go to my website, which is starclear.com, and go to my appearances page, or you can find it in a couple different places, you can actually watch that news report that was done last year, right before Halloween, and you can see exactly what happened and how they came in, you know, with, you know, kind of a joking attitude and left very quickly after that happened and actually pronounced the place haunted, which we already knew, the owners already knew, but they didn't know, so that was kind of interesting as well. Telekinetic activity happens quite often. Usually how these things happen is that emotional energy that is generated by people and or spirits accumulates over time in a particular room or in a particular home or business, and it makes it that much easier to transmit energy and to make telekinetic activity happen, which means able to make something move around in the room. I have noticed in my own work that most of the telekinetic activity that I run into is accomplished in places that need a clearing in the first place, which means that there's a lot of old emotional energy from previous occupants of the home or the business, and it builds up and it builds up, and then the spirit comes in, and if they're powerful enough, and maybe there's a connection astrologically, although that's not my expertise, but the idea is that some spirits are able to make things that are physical move around, including people, and people also get attacked. You know, we know that people have been scratched and pushed, and it had all sorts of physical problems around negative spirits as well. Usually there is an excess amount of emotional energy in the atmosphere in order to make that more conducive to something like that happening.
Well, Jeffrey, you've certainly had some fascinating experiences. Jeffrey, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you, please, can you just share with us again the actions that we can take individually and collectively to keep ourselves protected and in the light?
Yeah, I would say this, that it's a great idea to have some kind of spiritual belief system, regardless of whether it is a religious belief system or a generic spiritual system belief in a higher power. It really does help, because I do believe that there is a God out there, and also lots of higher spirits and all of that. They can help protect. The secondary thing would be this, that each of us is responsible for protecting ourselves as well. We need to learn how to strengthen our aura. It's one of the things that I teach. I also teach people how to create devices that are not physical in nature, but have a known effect upon negative spirits. And just as importantly, negative emotional energy that is in just about every place that we go into, any kind of shop, pub, any kind of somebody else's home, apartment, condo, whatever, you're probably going to encounter some emotional energy or a lot of emotional energy, and the owners may not even know that it's there. And so we need to learn how to strengthen our aura. We need to learn how to release trapped emotional energy from our body's energy fields. And it's a good idea to learn some advanced protection techniques in order to protect ourselves from negative spirits. It's one of the things that I do besides exorcisms. I spend a great deal of time teaching people how to do these things. I'm an instructor at the International Metaphysical University. I teach the art of psychic protection. Also, you can find those things on my website as well. But I strongly recommend learning some rudimentary psychic protection. And also, as I said before, it's a good idea to believe in something greater and stronger than yourself that is good and positive. That's also going to help. It's not going to maybe take care of all the problem, because they don't want us to get lazy. We have our own protection systems, and they're not going to walk for us. We need to learn how to walk for ourselves. But all of these things put together is a great way to learn how to protect ourselves, and once in a while we need to call in a professional if things get too heavy. But each of us is very powerful. Negative spirits do not want you to know that how powerful that you really are. And we are all capable of protecting ourselves if we learn the right methods and techniques.
Well, Jeffrey, I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening and for telling us about your extremely brave and protective work. And want to thank you as well for everything you do for us and on behalf of Spirit to keep us protected. You're a fantastic guy, and we're sincerely very grateful for you taking the time to join us this evening.
Well, thank you, Steve, and thank you, Maureen. A wonderful interview. I really enjoyed being on your show, and Halloween is coming up, and just remember that in my business, every day is Halloween.
Sounds like it. Well, Jeffrey, thank you once again, and good luck in your work. We really do admire you, and we'll keep you in our prayers and thoughts.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Well, that was a fascinating
discussion,
Maureen.
I liked it. He was great. He was very good at the way I felt my take was on it. I thought it was really great how he presented and he expressed and articulated everything. I thought it was very good. I don't know what my expectations were, but it was great show, Steve, with the hymns and everything. Yep, great.
Really interesting. Guy.
Yes.
Well, I want to just tell everybody to please stay tuned for the second half of our show. Maureen and I will be
single-handedly.
Absolutely, but we'll have fun as always.
Yes, we will.
Please do stay tuned for the free on-air readings with Maureen and I. We'll be telling you the dial-in number in just a moment, so get your pen and paper ready. I want to let you know as well that if you were unable to catch any of our previous shows, you'll find them recorded, and you can connect with those shows via the archive links on the website, psychicaccesstalkradio.com. Just go to the archives tab and choose the show that you're interested in. You can play it on the internet, or you can download it to iTunes. And please do feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective to connect with as many people as possible, so please do go ahead and share the links with other people. Well, Maureen, time for us to interact. And I know that we always have fun.
Yes, we will have fun. And you know, someone asked about Rez in the chat room. You know, in the chat room, chapsticks is each. Anyway, I think Rez, you know what? Some technical things, and you know how that goes. But she might still make it. We don't know, but we miss her and we feel her energy. But Tobert, she might be making it. Yes, it is time for us to do our thing. I can't wait, because I did some research on this, because I myself personally have not ever experienced anything within my own self, I don't think, with like you have, Steve. I know you have been around. I remember you telling me a story, because what was the last year you left quickly to help somebody with this, didn't you? You got to witness something like this.
I did, on a military base.
Yes, exactly. I remember. Base. And it was a child. Wasn't there a child involved as well?
There were three children involved.
Okay. And so, you know, I've never had that kind of thing going on. So what I just did was I decided to research, and I was raised Catholic, everybody, you know, the Roman, and during the time where, you know, we spoke the, was it Latin? They changed over? You know, the old Latin time. That one from the Latin, whatever, and they changed over in the 60s back into the regular English. But so I came from a time period where the Roman Catholics and the exorcism was pretty hush-hush until recently. But but Steve, actually, I know I'm not trying to change this around. It's your party tonight. But I do think it's pretty interesting about what happened with your situation. We do have me and you just doing this tonight, so I kind of thought, I don't know how you feel about it, but I find your experience to be really interesting about what happened. But
well, I will tell you about some of my experiences. Mine. Well, firstly, you know, I work with the light. I work for the spirit world, for God. Some people refer to spirituality, the spirit world, the universe. I feel very comfortable referring to God. I know who's in charge, and I pray every day that I can do the best work possible in the world on behalf of God. And, you know, as a child, I always saw spirit. I always saw spirit people. I could hear spirit people. And as a child, actually interact with them as I can interact with a person here now in the physical world. But we had quite a number of problems with poltergeist activity in the home when I was a child. Actually, the home that I was raised in was built on a burial ground. So goodness knows what was down there. But I had high energy as a child. My sisters got very good spiritual energy. My mother's very psychic as well. She's mediumistic, although she, for some reason, doesn't seem confident enough to admit that she's a medium. But she can be at my home in the States, and she'll, you know, I can see a spirit person walk by, and I can watch my mother watching, and I see her head move as she watches the person go by, and I know that she's seeing, but for some reason she doesn't
feel comfortable.
It's not that she feels uncomfortable. She's had a lot of incredible experiences, but she doesn't seem to say, "Oh, I am a medium." She she feels that it's something different, that I'm a medium because it's what I do for a living, and she's just seeing spirit occasionally, so she presumes that everybody has that experience, which is not necessarily the case.
No, but interesting.
We had a lot of poltergeist activity in the house. We used to have certain items that would disappear and then reappear. So particularly, we've always had issues with watches. I don't actually wear a watch, but we used to have... for example, my mother had a beautiful gold watch, and she always used to put it on the table next to her bed at night. And one morning she woke up and it was gone. And we searched high and low in the house for this watch. My parents even removed a carpet. They removed the carpet in the bedroom to see if somehow it had, I don't know, gone under the edge of the carpet, under the skirting board or something like that. But we never found it, or we didn't find it. And a number of months later, my father bought my mother another watch to replace it, and it was a different watch. The first one had a round face, and this next one had a hexagonal face. And one evening she went to bed, she put the watch on her bedside table, and the next morning she woke up, and it was gone, but the watch with the round face had been returned. So we always used to have these issues with things disappearing and reappearing. And then we started to have poltergeist activity, so we started to get very loud banging sounds and visitations in the house. And it's interesting that my mother will say to this day that she was never happy in that house. We lived there for a long time, but we were never happy there. And when my parents moved a number of years ago, they just became so much happier. And my mother just loves the home she's in and recognizes that there was something quite wrong with the energy in that home.
Like bad wrong? Do you think someone could... You know, I'm interested, Steve. What do you think about I don't think Jeffrey talked about this. What is there a difference about walk-ins? You've heard of walk-ins. Walk-ins. Have you heard about walk-ins? The people that they're called, like, they've had walk-ins, like people coming in. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes. Walk-in.
Okay, yep. So would you think that if there was a walk-in that wasn't positive, could that be also the same? Like Jeffrey was talking about, there's some good people that, or there were some bad people that die, that they are just bad anyway. So, but there's also, you know, when you get to the exorcism part of it, or coming in, or doing whatever, do you think walk-ins could be part of that? I mean, I don't know a lot about walk-ins, but there could be bad walk-in. I don't know.
Well, I believe in polarity, Maureen. I believe that there is far more light than there is darkness.
Right.
That's my experience of life and of working with spirit. So if you if you go downtown and you interact with 20 people, they're either all going to be, or nearly all of them are, good, loving people of the light. Finding a really bad person or really bad energy is
far and few between. Is that how it sounds? Is that the wording? Far and few between.
So I believe that there is far more light, and I believe that light can overpower. Absolutely, can overlight.
Yes, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah, I feel that way too. Absolutely. So I'm wondering, like, what interests me is why some people might have been more susceptible to being, like, I know for people that do work in the light, like you and I do, would we be more susceptible to having somebody mess with us or doing whatever? Well, maybe. I don't know. But also, if we weren't self-aware people, but I feel maybe, you know what I'm talking about? I'm just, like I said, I've never, it's no one's fault if someone, the work that you did with the military base, and it wasn't the child's fault, but the child's vulnerable.
It can be. I mean, as Jeffrey said, the darker entities go for the
vulnerable.
The most vulnerable.
Yeah, vulnerable, and also the vulnerable people that might be coming into their work. And that, I can't say this. I had some dark energies coming to me, but it was not that I had to have exorcism done. But I didn't realize how powerful the negative energies, and they wanted to mess with me because they heard it. It's almost like it's word travels about another person, but more of the light or higher vibration. They want to mess with you because you're vulnerable when you're coming into that work. You really are.
And also, Maureen, I can say for sure that I was far more vulnerable as a child than I am now. People ask me about my work, and they ask me about some of the severe cases I've been involved in and helped to resolve. And they ask, do I feel afraid? How do I handle it? And I always say that I believe it's my responsibility to help in any situation that God sends my way. So if a client comes for a reading, I believe it's my duty to do the best I can to support, love that client. And if I receive a very difficult case involving a poltergeist or a negative entity, then again, I believe that God has brought that to my attention so that I can be part of the solution and help people. So I tend to deal with whatever spirit send to me. But I do remember, for example, last year, and in fact, no, it wasn't last year, it was at the beginning of this year, I had an inquiry from a lady in New Mexico, I think it was, and she was having severe problems, and she described even the character of the entity, the appearance. And that same week, I had two phone calls from other parts of the world describing exactly the same thing. And it was so obvious that spirit were, that the, you know, God, that my guides, the angels were bringing those three cases to my attention because it was the same entity causing the same problems and behaving the same way, but in different locations with different people. And I believe that the solution is for us to be of the light. So for us to cast out negativity, for us to be as loving as we can be towards ourselves, other people, towards nature, animals, to stay grounded, to make sure that we nurture ourselves, that we take care of our emotional selves, our psychological selves, and our physical beings. And the more we nurture, the more we love, the more we take care of ourselves and the world, the better we make it. And I feel exceptionally well protected. I believe strongly that the more I work with the light, the more I serve God and the spirit world, the more protected I become, and the stronger my energy and aura become, enabling me to make a bigger difference.
Yeah, you know, well, I absolutely agree with that one, absolutely, because it looks like the yin and the or positive, negative, and the ebb and flow and everything else. But, you know, because I was raised as a Roman Catholic, Catholicism, and I went to Catholic school, it is interesting that I found out some things about nowadays, really well known that the Catholics do have certain, and they're talking about it more and more, whereas they didn't. They were a little more hush-hush 25 years ago about exorcisms, but they're very real. They're very real, and that's all there's to it. And there are some people that are, and someone said something about Tober said they're too much of a bum to be able to develop psychic ability, and that's not true, for one. But I think what you were saying about, it's really important to keep, it's almost like in the negative, the yin and yang, like the way I read, every negative can be a positive. You've got to have a hold of yourself and personal power. Now, some of these people that might have something coming on, they might be, like I said, maybe they're not feeling well, maybe they're vulnerable, maybe they've lost a loved one, so they're open to something coming about their target, and it's not their fault. But the Catholic Church will come in, and they have to get all this permission. But I found out, which was interesting, the Catholic Church, or the priests, their exorcisms are totally different than what, like, the other people's are, which I didn't really think about it much. And it, to me, I didn't give it any much thought until I researched it, like they, because their primary difference is one in the meditation of the priest and the Catholic exorcism. The priest is on the behalf of the exorcist, so it's like it could be very damaging. You've heard about priests can be whatever, you know, killed from this stuff, but. Like Jeffrey's a little bit different with his how his thing is on it, and but it can be a very dangerous method for the Catholic priest. But they also have to train certain people. But like Jeffrey was fascinating to me. I really liked what he had to say because he didn't go in any direction on that, as from what I heard. From what I heard, anyway, Steve. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I got the absolute impression from Jeffrey that he is respectful of everybody that is. Contributing to make the world a better place. So I don't know an enormous amount about how the Catholic Church handles exorcism or how it differs from the work of people like Jeffrey, but I know that there are priests out there that do fix this kind of problem, and I know that Jeffrey and other gifted people do the same. I feel as though it's largely a question of ritual or using different rituals, but I know for sure that there are not enough priests trained to perform exorcism. I did read an article earlier in the year that the Catholic Church had organized a conference in the States trying to raise awareness amongst priests and actually trying to train more priests to handle exorcism. It's a real problem.
Well, yes. As a matter of fact, I found out some information about that because there was some miscommunication about that because they're talking about they have to be trained. It's not like, but then they also said that they're allowing now a lay person to come in, which if someone said, no, that is not true. They don't allow a lay person, which, you know, I know the terminology because I went to Catholic school, a lay teacher, not in that format. People would think I was talking, well, never mind. Oh, behave. You know, it's like someone that is actually a priest has to be also trained in this. It can't just be someone that's a Catholic who's really, you know, trained in that. They just don't do that. And I feel that you're right. There has been a lot of talk about that. I've been noticing. So, but a lot of the priests, because if they're not trained properly, they're getting physically hurt. And it's very real in the Catholic, I don't know, there's been a lot more talk about it, but there's a lot of ignorance about what they're reporting too. So there you have it. Well, and no, it's not me breathing, everybody in the chat room. They're talking about breathing, heavy breathing, and they're saying I'm doing it. No, it's not. Sorry, well, that's it.
I want to ask you, you know, it's important that we talk about protection. And I want to ask you, what are your rituals for keeping yourself protected psychically, spiritually, and physically? What are your tips for
advice?
Well,
this is the thing. I'm really into, I have so much different, I smoke sage, saging, smudging, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's very important to have sage, white sage with sweet lemongrass, but I have all these other four directions are called. And I do that quite often. I do it in every way, which way. And I feel that because of my knowledge with the American Indians and why they did the smoke and the saging, I really do. I do feel it brings about a cleansing in my home anyway. I spend most of my time at home working. Also, meditation, which I have a very hard time doing anyway. I really suggest everybody should do, but I don't do it very well. But I live down at the beach. And I find that when I go to the beach, I feel really in my true authentic self, and I feel it's not a meditation, it's just a calming feeling. I feel a sense of personal power is really contained in that way by doing that. I also pray. I pray not just for myself. It's not like that. I pray for, you know, a new Mercedes or something. I pray for everyone.
It is so important to stay grounded, and you know, you mentioned the beach. I don't live near the beach, I did in the UK, but it was always too cold to lie out there. But even so, walking on the beach, you know, feeling where I lived in Brighton, the pebbles under my feet, connecting with the earth, being next to the water, it was grounding. It does provide upliftment and tranquility, good energy. And so now I live in the States. I like to lie in the sun occasionally. Again, it grounds me, it calms me, it makes me feel protected, as does a trip to the mountains. So yeah, being in nature, even if it's just walking on the grass with bare feet, it does provide protection. It does provide nurturance.
It gives you back a sense of your personal power when you're in such awe. When you see the awe of magic, like you see the Smoky Mountains, don't you? Isn't that your view?
I do. I can see them now.
How strong and powerful is that to make you feel like you're really part of something, you know? It's like, wow. To me, that's pretty great way of keeping a hold of yourself. Your true authentic self, I think, is really important. I'm not just saying it, you know, but really feeling it inside. That's personal power, and I have no problem saying God either. I used to, but it's God. And I do feel that if you're really, your intent is clear, is really important about intent, don't you think, Stephen? Really important, the intent.
Oh, to love. To love ourselves enough to eat well. To love ourselves enough to make sure that we get our rest and our sleep, that we do the things we enjoy, whether that's reading an uplifting or inspirational book or being on the beach. To be in a state of love and gratitude is so important for us individually and collectively. I also love to burn sage. I often put salt, kosher salt, around the boundary of my home as well.
Oh, good idea.
I also burn mugwort and frankincense with sage, and it's a moment I take to just recognize that protection is important, and to acknowledge that I choose to work with the light, and that I trust the light. I trust my guides. I trust the angels. I trust God.
Yeah, well, you know, that is true. And it's when I start doubting myself, and anybody out there listening to me, when they're having readings, start doubting me. I'm just kidding. Don't doubt me. No, but I do have it, you know, because of this work can be very, I'm very sensitive, and I really do, my intentions are always given with, I'm really objective, and I feel really strong about what I do, but I do feel that I really need to keep a hold of myself and know what I'm doing. It's okay, and it's okay if someone doesn't. I just need to really contain myself in order to know. I know who I am, and I'm doing this because this is what I must do. And by allowing that, not being open up to any other, if someone's feeling negative about me, you know, that stuff that comes out, you know, going out about, that you don't want to pick up on stuff. Maybe it might be wrong or something, that you feel in someone else's energy doing this or whatever. I really try hard to keep myself focused on what I'm doing. I know exactly where I come from and what I'm able to manifest and what I'm able to convey. So, and when you're tired and all that, if you don't take care of yourself, it's going to happen. So I'm fortunate. I don't want any evil entity or evil whatever. I don't want any negativity around me, but people are negative living. And once they leave my home or if they've been around me, I start saging the heck out of everything. Everything. So there, too. That's what I say. So are we taking calls now, Steve? Uh-oh. I can't hear you guys. Oh, am I dropped off, Doug? Okay, I guess not. Hi, New York. This is Maureen. And how are you? Hello, New York.
Hi, who are you?
Oh, there you are. Hi. This is the last Steve. I didn't listen. Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Like a general insight. Would you see my boyfriend and I? 6 years. We broke up about a month ago. We still live under the same household, and it used to be tension when we first woke up. Now we talk a little. I was just wondering, do you see us rekindling?
Okay, and who am I talking to? It sounds like I've talked to you before. I think who am I talking to? Your name. I think your name, so I can address you by name.
Oh, Christina.
Christine?
Christina.
Christina. Okay, oh, Christina, yes. Got it. Okay, so you're still living in the same house. And you know what? I get a feeling this has been going on. You know, we're coming into the new year, of course. We all know that, huh? It looks like last year there was some, around January, there was some lost victory with you guys. Something real intense was going on. There's a man, I'm not sure if it's him, but he looks like he has a lot of rage. He can lose control, like snap quickly. And it was like there was a feeling of wanting a new beginning or starting a new agreement. Something was going on and everything went, hey, you know, I think what's happening is realistically, I think you're not seeing anybody else, are you?
No.
Okay. I wanted to ask. My feeling is this. I feel right now that you're heading, you're about there. You've seen things emotionally, realistically with this relationship. I do feel that there's a relationship that's hanging over you, but you can't see it. I feel that there's been so much past stuff. What's his name? I'm sorry, what?
Lewis.
And I think I remember, I have spoken to you before. I feel that Lewis, there's some real past stuff that wasn't so great that you've gone through with him, and for six years the things are going on, but there's, unless, like I said, unless there's someone else, I do feel that things are going to be a lot clearer for you, and within the next 4 months it will feel like, again, nothing's really going on, but there'll be a turnaround. And I do feel you guys have a very strong you have a communication ability that can be something without using the regular phones or, you know, email. You guys can pick up each other's energy. Now, I think, like I said, a year has passed, and there was some, I don't know, do you remember, it would be January, February of last, it would have been 2010 or 2011, right, when we went into that. Mm-hmm. Was there something real intense that happened with you guys that
I don't know about, I mean, it's nothing particular, but it was several things that we were going through, some challenges.
Well, this has to do with him getting, he needs to really sort himself out, because he has some rage in him, and it doesn't have anything to do with you, but it's overflowing into your relationship, obviously. Like, he needs to sort things out, and I feel that he's not such a bad guy. I just feel he needs to sort it out. You're not going to be able to do that for him. Now, I feel that you're still, and I remember I did talk to you, and I don't remember like how long, but again, I do feel that there's a change coming, which is positive, but I think that it will be realistic, but I think this has to do with you being really strong and having different boundaries that are more workable, and I think you'll see him being able to rise to the occasion. And a lot of things I'm looking at him, I don't see him seeing anybody. I think maybe before he said he was or something, but he doesn't, you're still there, you're still living together, which is interesting. I feel that there's some working out that can be done, but on the other hand, I don't know if you were going to be able to handle this much longer. Mm-hmm. You know, but I do feel that he cares about you, but he does have some issues that need to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I don't know. I just feel that maybe if you decided to detach, move out, maybe that would maybe help. I'm not clear on that, but it'd be up to you. But things are going to be kind of like not, I don't know, there's a strong bond there, there's something going on, I'm sure karmic, but I don't know, Lewis, I do feel can get it together, it's just taking a little bit longer than necessary, but, you know, maybe by stepping away a little bit might help the process.
Okay.
I hope that helped you. I know I've spoken to you before, but I kind of get it, you'll be okay, either way.
Okay.
I hope I helped you, thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. I'm just going to give the number out again. So if you would like to call in for a reading, please do give us a call. The number is 724-444-4851. I'll repeat that for you, 724-444-4851. And please do bear in mind that when you do call in, you'll be placed on hold, and you'll get through to us in turn. I do want to make a couple of quick announcements before I take the next caller. Please do remember to visit our website, psychicbloggers.com. You can learn about all kinds of spiritual, esoteric, metaphysical topics there, so do check that out. And if you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the internet, then go to psychicaccess.com. You'll find that all of the psychics are accurate, tested, and have their unique gifts. You can check out their profiles and choose the psychic that you're drawn to. I want to just take a moment as well to thank Maureen for being here on the show with me this evening, and to thank Doug for all of his work behind the scenes. I know that he maintains very high standards on Psychic Access as well as PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. And Maureen and I are available on Psychic Access as well, so if you'd like a reading from us, do give us a call or contact us through the video chat sometime. If you own a website, you can earn 50 cents a minute on readings that you refer through to Psychic Access, and if you would like more information on that offer, please go to psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Now I'm going to take the next call. The caller is from Virginia. Who's calling from Virginia?
Hi, Steve. This is Dee. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, Dee. How are you?
I'm doing good. I have a question for you.
Okay, go ahead, Dee.
I have a friend who is an ex. We've been communicating, and I kind of decided that I think we have more of a friendship than a romantic relationship. But he's sending a lot of mixed signals. Like, one minute he's very close, and the next minute he's kind of distant, and I'm trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
The first thing that I pick up really clearly with him is, now I get the number 10 actually, the month of October is significant with him. I know that we're in the month of October now, but I feel drawn back to October of last year, and my guides give me this strong sense that for the last 12 months he struggled to stay positive about life. He's really had a number of challenges, and largely it's related, Dee, to his work. He's not channeling his talents or his energy in the right ways, and it's causing him a lot of frustration in his professional life, but it started to really get him down in his personal life as well. And I have to tell you, Dee, that I feel from what I'm seeing and hearing that you need to take your time. You need to maintain your space and your independence. I do feel a friendship. I do feel a love and respect. But I feel strongly that at the moment he's coming towards you because you're so loving and uplifting. And I really do get the feeling that he will be a bit of a drain at this point in time. So it feels right to say you should be friends, but you, Dee, should really make sure that you take care of yourself, because you do have a habit of sacrificing your needs and well-being to help other people. And jumping into a relationship to help somebody is not necessarily the right step for you to take. So my guides are saying, take your time, be a friend, but don't rush into anything with him right now, because he's got a number of things to work through before he's strong enough to maintain a healthy relationship.
So you don't see us having a romantic relationship, it's more of a friendship, so to speak.
That's certainly how it feels to me, Dee. I do feel that there's potential for the relationship to grow, but it's going to take another year or more for him to really get himself on track. And my guides are saying, this time you've got to put yourself first. If in time he really gets his life in order and it's productive for you to take the relationship further, then great. But right now, my guides are saying, look after yourself and don't rush.
So should I continue to hang with him, Steve, or just kind of go my separate ways? What do you recommend with that?
That's always your choice, Dee. You know, I can tell you what I see. I can tell you what my guides advise, but it never takes away your choice. You're free to choose whatever you want. I'm not feeling from my guides that you should completely avoid him or remove him from your life. I'm not seeing or suggesting that. But they are saying, don't get overly involved too quickly. Take it slowly, and maintain your independence for now. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, Dee. Good luck to you. Okay, now we have another call, and Maureen, this call is from you from New York City.
Another New York City. Hello, can you hear me? My mute's on mic.
Hello.
Hi, New York City. Hi, and who am I talking to?
Anne.
Hi, Anne. And what can I help you with?
Well, I have a classmate of mine. His name is Dave, and I know I've been complaining a lot about school, and I've also asked him for help a number of occasions, and it feels to me as though he's just sick of me, and he doesn't really want to help me, and I just want to know if that's, true, or if I'm reading too much into it.
Okay, I see. You kind of feel like he's sick of listening to your... He should be more supportive is what I think that you're getting at, and you don't feel that from him. What's his name? Dave, did you say Dave? Did you say his name?
Dave. I don't know if that he should necessarily be more supportive. I know I complain a lot, but I just want to know if he, feels like he's had enough of me already.
Okay, because you're fearing that he... Okay, no. No, no, no. First of all, I think there's someone in the past that he had enough of before. It's not you. And if he has issues, did he have a real... I'm picking up on this. There was somebody I don't see that to be a very positive person, or woman in, or girl, whatever. She was on a very lower vibration, and she would be one that would be verbally nasty and just self-absorbed narcissistic behavior. Now, he may have had... Do you know about his last relationship? Did he ever talk about anybody to you?
No.
No, you don't talk about anything like that, huh?
Never? I'm sorry, do I talk about my past relationships?
No, if he talked to you about anybody he might have been involved with, his past relationship prior to you? Did he have
He's not in a relationship with me.
No. I'm talking about someone that he was with in the past that may have been not the nicest person. I'm asking you for a reason because... been in any relationship besides you?
He's married to.
Okay.
He's married to someone now, so he never talks about anybody else.
Okay, I get it. I didn't ask you. I probably should have asked you. This is what. So he's married, and you're not, correct?
Yes.
Okay. This is why I'm picking up on this. I don't feel that he's not getting sick of you, but really, it looks like whoever he's married to, like I said, there's a woman that really has some issues. That it's not that I'm seeing he sees you as this. I feel that this has more to do, and no, let me tell you something. You really need to you've been with him for how long? Because I'm feeling this. I really feel that you deserve the best. You deserve the best and family and all. I don't feel, and I see him seeing you as a very strong woman, but I feel that there's a other woman I'm picking up on. I thought it was from the past. If he's still married, she's not the best of energy, okay? And I don't know if she's
But she's married to a guy. He's gay.
Okay, well, guy, physical, maybe she's the feminine energy. It doesn't mean to me, okay, if it's gay or not. Well, let me ask you something. He's gay and he's married to a guy, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and what are you?
I'm a heterosexual woman.
But he's a homosexual man.
Yes. I'm just talking in terms of just friendship, not anything romantic.
Okay, well, that's interesting. Okay, well, I'm just getting all messed up with this. Jeez. Listen, I don't think he's getting sick of you at all, but I do feel this. I feel that if he's involved with it, be a female energy of the male figure, maybe that's what I'm getting. I'm going to stand my ground. No, I don't think he's getting sick of you at all. I feel that you guys actually have a very good relationship. He sees you as being a very strong woman. I feel that actually he's just might be in a mood of some sort, but I think he might be having issues whoever he's married to. But whoever he's married to, I get more of a female energy. But if he's married to a man, maybe it's more the female of that energy of that person. But that's the person that I see him having more problems with. And so, if you're taking it like he snaps or he's looking like he's not interested or he doesn't respond to you, I don't feel it's anything to do with you. It's more about his marriage, okay, because he told me he's married. There's something going on there that's very disturbing. And also his work. There's something else going on with him. It's not anything to do with you. I think that you might be taking it a little bit too personally and thinking it is. There's other stuff going on with him, and I don't feel it's you that he's feeling that he can't take you anymore. It's other things. I think you ought to talk to him about it. Ask him. Have you asked him?
No, because people don't usually tell you the truth, or they'll tell you it's okay, and then they'll still be like, you still know there's something
wrong. Yeah, but if he's a good friend, I think you guys have I think your bond is pretty strong. I feel, you know, you kind of have something going on. You trust him. I feel that you have to, I used to anyway. I don't know. I feel that if you feel that way, then really forget who, I mean, you wouldn't care so much, would you? I think you need to ask him. I think you need to give him a little benefit of the doubt, because I think that you're taking the time to ask about him anyway, that something is concerning to you, or else you wouldn't care. I would ask him. I think he's trustworthy, to tell you the truth. I don't think he would be like that with you. Absolutely not. I think he's proven himself to be a good friend. I think...
Can I ask another related question?
Let me see if I have any time. Yeah, a quick one, sure. I think I have time for...
I feel kind of isolated. Like, I've always felt kind of isolated, like, in my class. Like, if I sit alone, like, nobody will sit next to me. Do I, like, push people away, or do people not want to be with me, or...
You know what? Anne's your name, right? Anne?
Yeah.
And yeah. This is the thing. No, I think you are very much, you have, absolutely not, unless you want to present yourself that way, but really, you don't, who cares about those people? Who cares about those people? And in fact, I don't think, I think there's a lot of commotion, changes around classes, school, or whatever. I don't feel there's anything wrong with you. If you start believing that, then there you have it. And we're talking about personal power. I feel grasp hold of yourself and take control, and I feel that you're very strong. And if people have issues with you, who cares? You don't want to be around those. Who cares about those opinions? You know, don't be so hard on yourself.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Anne.
Okay,
take care.
You. Okay.
Thank you, Maureen. Now we have another caller from Pennsylvania. Who's calling from Pennsylvania?
Hi, this is Monica.
Good evening, Monica. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Monica. How can I help?
I was just wondering if there is anyone around me in spirit, and if they have any messages for me.
Okay. I feel a female energy. But I have a... As you ask me that question, I feel, I can smell a wood-burning fire. I can smell really strongly logs burning, and I hear the sound of a crackling fire as well. And when I tune into spirit and ask about this fireplace and this lady, I'm drawn to your grandmother on your mother's side of the family. And I'm given the initial M very strongly. And it's not the name Mary or Margaret. It could be Marjorie, but I hear Marge, and
I
get the name very strongly. This is grandmother or great grandmother.
Great aunt.
Your great aunt. She comes through really strongly for you, and she's talking about how important it is to have a solid foundation in life, and particularly to have a strong and protective home and home environment. And she's saying that you need to remember how important it is to have a protective home and nest that you can return to. I don't feel that you're settled in your home environment. And I feel very drawn to the month of April. She gives me, though, actually, she gives, when I say April, she gives me the number two. I know from that there is there's an April in spirit connected to her. If you look at your family tree, there's another lady, yes, whose name is April. But I know as well that your great aunt Marge or Marjorie either was born or passed in the month of April. But she's saying that April is important for you. You will make huge changes in your life in the month of April next year. And it feels very much like a change of home, a change of location, and also a change of work all at the same time. And her message to you is, be really open to all possibilities, all opportunities that come your way, because your life is going to change dramatically and for the better in the month of April next year.
Wow, okay.
She also talks of how wonderful you are with children, how uplifting and healing and supporting you are as a person, and she gives you as well the name Andrew as a name for you to be aware of in future, whether this is a friend or a business relationship or a romantic relationship, I don't know, but she's giving me the sign that the name Andrew is a positive energy and influence in your life. Now, your mother is not in spirit. Your mother is here, right?
Yes.
Now, this lady, Marge, or Marjorie, is thanking your mother for all of the laughter, saying, please thank her for all of the laughter, and please tell her to take care of her legs, particularly her left leg. She's experiencing discomfort in either her left knee or hip or both, and she's not taking it seriously. She's just ignoring it, hoping it's going to go away, and it's not. She needs to listen to her body. So please do give your mother that message.
Okay.
Any questions you have for her or for Spirit?
I guess none that I can think of off the top of my head.
Okay, well that's good.
Well, away right now.
Stay. You know, she's very loving towards you and the whole family. She's very much around you. She's really grounding you and earthing you, and really encouraging you to stay alert, stay open-minded about opportunities, and really, between now and the end of the year, focus very clearly on what it is you actually want to create and what you want to have and be in life, because the energy that you focus now is important. It will very much influence how everything unfolds for you in the month of April. And she's just given you the number 27. She said to remind your mother of the 27th. You ask your mother and you'll see that the 27th of the month is very important. And also your mother will recognize that the month of February is very important, connected to her father, your grandfather. Okay?
Oh, okay. So, the 27th of any particular month?
No, they're just giving the number 27, the 27th.
Okay.
Your mother will recognize that that's a really important date in the family, and also the month of February is important, connected to your grandfather, your mother's father.
Right, okay.
Okay, so wish you lots of luck.
All right, thank you.
Take care. Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Great reading, Steve. Very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next call is for you, Maureen. I think it's somebody calling from Florida.
Sunny Florida. Hi, Florida. This is Maureen. And
hi,
welcome.
How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. And how are you? And may I have your name, please?
I am Tyra, and I am doing really good.
Great. Hi, Tyra. I'm ready for you. What can I help you with?
Hey, it's not really a question. It's more of advice, and not just for me, but for everyone else who does it.
Okay.
But I usually get readings like once or twice a week. Mm-hmm. And it's usually a question, and it's usually always the same answer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about it. Like, how do I stop doing that and just relax and let it happen and, you know, stop bothering people about it?
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say is it's about you've been getting readings, or you're getting doing readings on your own for yourself, or you're always getting the same. Is this?
I've been getting them from the people at Psychic Access.
Okay, I see. So what you're saying is you're becoming very aware that you're kind of asking a lot more and more about, and it's the same subject, on the same subject, right, or concern,
exactly.
Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
You need to relax, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Is that
yeah.
correct? Well, you know, I got to hand it to you, because I'll tell you something. Maybe Steve would agree with this. You know, I'm not, you know, being rude to anybody, but I'll tell you, I admire the fact that you're aware of this and you're stepping back, because you do need to relax. You'll get a lot of insight, and there's a lot of things that do happen, and no one is ever going to be, no one, me included. I really, you need to listen to your own intuition. But when you start getting, and we all get, you know, I've gotten to a place where some things, maybe not what you're, they're pretty similar, but obsessing on something where I have to, and knowing that maybe I kind of know the insights in my heart or just in myself. So the statement is, you know what my feeling is? I feel I'm with you. The way I'm looking at this is, first of all, I think as soon as you and I think you're already doing this, you're releasing in some way of not looking for a deeper meaning to everything. That could go with anything. But I do feel that that's the best choice you're making, because by doing so, I do see there's some options coming your way. And I see you making I see you jumping on a really interesting, it's almost like, it's like you're going to have a really great opportunity. The choice is going to be really good for you to be the dreamer, to jump, to risk, to go and be enthusiastic about something. There's something really positive. And it does look again around. A lot of things are coming up at the first of the year. But it's like right at the turn into the first of the year, like after midnight, the first of the year, there's something really, a good opportunity, and you're going to be really happy and excited, and it's something that you haven't had in a long time. There's a lot of things that are behind you. So, you know, I feel like you really should just, if you take a step back, like you said, and you already know the answer to this. Like you said, it's not a statement. It was, actually, you were just trying to convey what you felt that you already know. You know, what do you think about that?
Well, I don't really know what I could physically do to, like, take my mind off of it. Because every time I see, like, evidence of it happening, it's like, oh, okay, I have to call in again to make sure, you know, that what I saw is confirming what is going to happen.
Okay, you know what you need to do with that, because it's going to drive you crazy? You need to give yourself boundaries, okay, about how often you call. And this is what I'm feeling. I feel that when you stop, like I said, I do feel that you're going to be able to do this. Don't go so deep into everything that you see, okay? Or you see happening. That way it will keep you from calling. Kind of look at it as, I know you can do it, kind of look at it like maybe looking at something instead of going or observing it and ripping it apart. Just go, okay, that happened, and go about your business. I know it sounds silly, but it can be done, because our thoughts are the ones that make us go crazy with. Look at everything as it not being such a sign, or maybe just kind of look at things, I hate to say this, but with your situation, look at it in a superficial way. Make a game out of it in some way. I think that it will be helpful. You know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I know it's easy for me to say. I know it's difficult. I think that you need to be, I think you have it in you to be able to have commitment towards, you know, you can go crazy calling in too much and getting too much information, okay? Absolutely.
Yeah, it's been happening.
Yeah, and I think you're self-aware, and that right there is a good sign. So don't look at things so deeply, and just take a breather and just let it kind of flow for a while. I know you can. I can see that you can. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
And really, I'm glad you're aware of it. That's the best thing going. You're self-aware. A lot of people aren't. They call a lot.
Right. Well, I see it happening all the time in the chat rooms. I'm like, didn't you just ask this yesterday?
Yeah, try to work it. Don't just try to do it. just work on it. Like, try to detach from anything in that. It'll help you. And I know you can do it.
Okay,
you're a smart woman. So. Thank you. Actually, you're a very smart woman. And I send you well wishes for doing that. Very good question statement, actually. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. Well, we have another caller from Washington State. Who's calling from Washington State?
Julie.
Good evening, Julie. How are you?
I'm just fine. Thank you, Steve.
Hey, Julie. How can I help?
Let's see. I had about three different questions, and I was trying to decide which one I'll ask, and I think it's going to be the one about moving.
Okay.
Do you see me still moving? Yeah, I know. Do you still see me moving at the beginning of the year?
Let me see. I feel drawn to the number 8 very strongly. And I feel that you should be clear in the new year what your year is about and what your priorities are. My guides are saying that, you know, like all of us, at times we're unclear what we're prioritizing in life. And I am drawn to the number 8. I really feel strongly that you will move within the first 8 weeks of the year. But I feel it's more towards the 8th week or the end of February rather than being right in the new year. And my guide is saying to you, why is it so important to move right at the beginning of the new year?
Oh, because it's so cold where I'm at, and where I'm moving to is warm. That's the only reason.
Well, you know, my guides are saying to you, it's important that you savor every moment. You will see there's a very important reason why you're not meant to be relocated right at the beginning of the year, because, let me see, what are they They're saying. Oh, actually, I know what they're saying. This is interesting. This happens occasionally, only occasionally. They're giving us the same date. There's some kind of synchronicity between you and the last caller I spoke to, and the date is February, and it's also the 27th. My guides are saying, savor every moment, and you will see by the 27th. The 27th of February, you will move, and it will work out very well for you. You've been thinking of this for quite a long time. I'm getting the number 3, and I don't feel we're talking about 3 months. I feel it's almost 3 years that you've been thinking about making a big change, but now you feel confident enough to do it.
You're right. We have been thinking about moving for about 3 years. And life circumstances have just came up and it hasn't happened. And now we're going to take the step and leave behind a few things, children and such, and grandchildren. So it's a big step for us. And it's for my husband and I and for our life versus what has been mostly for my children. So it is a big step.
Yeah, it is a big step, but it's a very exciting step. And you will understand why it's towards the end of February. But this is a really positive choice for you. And I do see you being in a very warm climate. To be honest, I feel as though you're going to be in a climate that's warm all year round. I don't really feel much of a change in seasons. What else are they giving me? Give me more. You have a, if you look in your family, on your father's side of the family, either your great-grandfather or your grandfather was somehow involved in working with clocks or watches. It feels like the manufacture or repair of clocks or watches, and this gentleman is giving you a small gold watch on a chain, and he's saying, "Don't hurry. There's no need to hurry now. You no longer need to hurry. Enjoy each moment. Take your time." He's giving you the name Rosemary as well. He's saying that there's a lady in spirit whose name is Rosemary, if you look at your family tree. And he's asking you as well to make sure that your husband exercises more. I don't feel that your husband's moving around enough.
That is true.
So he's not going to have an excuse when you're in this warm climate. Okay. So make sure you negotiate that with him, or make that very clear to him now. That's part of the deal, that you're going to be in a wonderful location. There's some connection with you and animals. I see you doing some kind of work connected to animals after you've moved. But my guides are saying, and this gentleman in spirit, oh, he's given the name Denny or Dennis. And he's saying, make sure that you get outdoors more, and that you make sure your husband exercises more. He needs to lose a little bit of weight as well. But you've got happy times ahead. Don't rush. And you'll see exactly what they mean about waiting for February and the end of February. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Dennis. I mean, not Dennis. Thanks, Steve.
look on your father's side of the family tree, and you will see the name Denny or Dennis. He's very, very clear. And if you ask, there's some connection with either clock manufacturing or clock repairs. But he's saying, don't rush anymore. Don't rush anymore. You don't need to. And that move is very, very positive.
I definitely will check that out. Thank you.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thanks for the reading.
You're welcome. Good luck. Right. We're going to take one last call, Maureen. It's just a quick one.
Right.
From Carolina.
Got it. You saw it. Hi, South Carolina. And how are you? And it's Maureen. La, la, la.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello, it's Jenny. Is this Maureen?
Hi, Jenny.
Hi.
I'm ready. Sorry.
Okay, so my question is related to my love life, and I've been recently seeing someone, his name is Chris, and lately it's just been kind of off. I was wondering if you could tell me if there's anything, any kind of future relationship that would
okay, so, so, Jenny, you said that, what's this person's name that you were seeing?
Christopher.
Okay, and now it's kind of got, well, so you're saying that you guys had something going on that kind of like lost its way, right? Kind of, is what you're saying?
Well, he's kind of in and out.
Got it.
Not
and
sure.
Not. Like, and he's not out. Really there, and it's and that's that. You know, wow, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of male energy around you that has not been all that good. You know, I feel there's something else that you're not clear on about within. Okay, I'm going to ask right out. Is this person single? Christopher, is he single? Is he married?
Yes.
He's single. That's yep. So lovely to hear. Okay, what I'm getting is that I feel that there's a lot of stresses around his work. And I feel that, I mean, a lot, and I don't know how much you know or what's been going on. It just feels that he's been holding on for dear life. There's some other person that he's working with in some company. Something, it just turned out to be a real bad experience. And everything changed, and it's like the commotion's calmed down, but it was commotion that calmed down. But then there was, does he work in a setting of a business, a company of some sort?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something real intense, and it really ripped him apart. It was almost like devastating to him. And
okay,
I and then I see a father figure type of person that just led him to, it's like all this stuff happening. I do feel that you don't have enough, it's almost like you haven't been in school. It's like someone going to school and getting insight on something to where you're a student figure. And I feel that there's something more that you're not clear on because you don't have the knowledge yet about some of this. I don't feel it's because of you. I think there's some really heavy stuff that he's been going through.
Yeah.
And the male energy has been the thing that I'm getting to be, well, my father just died. I met my parents. Okay, you guys, if the phone's ringing, no, sorry. Anyway, the thing of it is, I get a feeling that there's, it's more about some male energy stuff that's not been really positive for him, but it's related to work. It's related to like a father figure. And you don't have the insight to this, so you're thinking, okay, it's me. It's something about me. I think there's something going on that he's trying to sort out. It's almost like, you know what? Your sleep's going to get better. And I do feel that you guys, when you're together, and when you split apart, like you do for 2 months or so, I don't know, it's like really good, and then you tear apart each other. I think you need to, I do feel you're going to have an opportunity to reconnect, but I think it needs to be on a better agreement. You need to get some things out in the open. But I don't feel that it's towards you. I really don't. I think that there's a lot of stuff going on that it's been overwhelming for him. But but I know we got egos and everything else. You need to feel okay about making contact with him. I feel if you do, and I'd make a good choice. If you don't, it may be that you guys kind of just fizzle away. I say, put your ego aside and contact him soon when you feel comfortable. I guess I think you won't be disappointed.
Okay, he's worth it. He wanted to hang out today, and then I contacted him, but he didn't contact back. So I'm just wondering.
Don't give up on
what
him.
It is.
I think, yeah, don't give up on him. Even if you don't hear back, I think you'll hear from him, actually. I think you will in the next few days anyway. But, yeah, there's something interesting. You know, I like him. I think there's other people around. Things are going on, just really intense.
Okay.
So, it'll get better if you want to hang in there. That's what I say. So I hope I helped you. Thanks a lot for calling. And we'll be back next week, too. Call again.
Thank you, Maureen. And I apologize. We did have another caller, but we're not able to take any more calls at this time. So please do call back next week. Well, that brings us to the end of another great show. I want to thank Doug for keeping us on track as our executive producer, and also to thank our fantastic guest, Jeffrey. What an amazing man, and such important messages from him about how we can stay in the light and protected. Thank you to you, Maureen, for being with us this evening.
Yeah, and I appreciate it. I had a great show, and the two of us ran it really well, I think, except someone in 2012 was in the chat room. I'll tell you later. But bless his heart, But there is a show next week, you guys. Well, it's okay, Steve. I'll just go for it. There is a
Absolutely.
Show next week, and I'm real excited, and everybody would be excited. Anton Saint-Martin joins us again, and with his knowledge, and he's an acclaimed professional background, and we'll explore the clairsenses part 2. August 12th, he was with us, and we did part 1 because there's so much to go into the clairs, as we all know. It's become quite a popular subject. So join us next week with Anton Saint-Martin. He's quite entertaining and wonderful and very knowledgeable for the clairsenses part 2. Thanks, Steve, and good night, everyone.
Thank you, Maureen. We look forward to that show. I want to wish everybody a wonderful end to the week and a great weekend. And we look forward to you joining us again next week at 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock Eastern time. But it is 7 in some time zones.
Yeah, for my time it is. It's 7 right now. never mind. Go on, Steve.
We get started as normal at 8 o'clock Eastern time. So please do join us for a wonderful show hosted by Maureen with Anton Saint-Martin. Thank you and lots of love.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.